Okay. Last minute camera looks.
Last looks.
Everybody.
Last looks.
Last looks.
Last looks.
Check your hair. Check your cardigan.
Where's my team? Last looks. Bring my team in.
Where's my hair person? Okay.
Oh, I am my team. That's why things are looking rough.
All right. It's your turn, baby girl.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson, your face stamping, early 2000s music listening. I watched an old episode of Black Mirror and am traumatized, friend.
And I'm Kathleen Haney, your choker wearing, Grey's Anatomy addicted. I made a delicious ragu in my Instant Pot this weekend and I can't stop thinking about it, friend.
And every week, Kathleen and I get together to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. Thank you so much for listening. Kathleen, what are we talking about this week?
I'm talking about weird news headlines. Yeah.
It's my favorite. I love it when you do weird news headlines. Makes me so happy.
If you've ever felt like you don't belong, you belong with Bethany and I. Join the table. There's room for everyone. Grab something warm or bubbly or alcoholic and hang out with us because you know what today is, Bethany?
What?
Today is our 300th episode.
What? Dude, that's insane.
I know. I've never done anything else 300 times in my life.
There are TV shows that get canceled before they hit 300. There's a lot.
I know. And we're coming up on our 5-year anniversary. And so this is a very exciting show because we have some big announcements. Should we do them now? Maybe should we hang out until the end of the podcast?
Let's do big announcements.
Okay. Next week, we have a bunch of new additions to our merch line coming out. We've worked so hard on them. Bethany and I almost got divorced over them.
Kathleen has worked so hard, and I have given my thumbs up or thumbs down, and that's been the whole process. Kathleen, you have done so much work on this.
Well, thank you, thank you. But it's really the both of us. And we are also getting a Patreon. What's going to be on that Patreon? We're not sure yet, but we're getting one.
Yeah.
And we're thinking about maybe doing like a live show twice a month. We would love to hear from you, gentle listeners, about what you want us to do on our Patreon. And yeah, that's it. Two announcements. That's it. I guess I made a big deal on nothing.
No. It is a big deal. And well, the only reason that we're at 300 is because you, gentle listener, listen. So thank you for listening. It means so, so much. It's just, it's unbelievable.
Can we talk about something that happened before we were recording? Why did you have your camera covered up when we're supposed to be Skyping with each other? Are you trying to hide your face from me? Like, what is going on?
Kathleen, yeah. I watched an episode of Black Mirror over the weekend, and I'm one of those people where...
There's not new episodes, is there?
No. This is very old. It's like season 3. I don't know. It came out last year, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of those people where, like, I don't really watch what comes out right away. It takes me a while. I finally watched an episode of Black Mirror called Shut Up and Dance. Have you seen that one?
I've seen all of them.
This is the one where the kid is filmed masturbating and then he has to go on, like, all of these errands. And he keeps getting texts to his phone saying, like, now you have to meet with this guy and, like, now you have to fight this guy to the death.
Yeah, or else they're going to release the video of him masturbating. And, somebody digitally is taking control of his life to not release his video.
The ending is just traumatizing. Not traumatizing, but just, it's just like, oh, man. And so, it makes you really, so anyway, now I'm
masturbate
being really careful about covering things. No. But it's like, it just made me realize, like, I really do need to cover my computer camera more than I do because I'm always on Skype or Zoom, and so I'm always on my camera, but I really should cover up my camera. So that's why you couldn't see me when we first started Skyping, is because, like, my camera was straight up covered.
You know, they say you never know. Someone could be looking through, and you have no idea. They would 100% see me naked, but it's okay because I'm the naked neighbor. They say that you're either the person looking at the naked neighbor or you're the naked neighbor. I'm the naked neighbor.
Yeah, me too. I'm also the naked neighbor.
I like a lot of light in my apartment, and then closing the curtains at night is just like, oh God, do I have to?
I love light. I hate pants. So pants. That equals naked neighbor.
I know that we've been doing this podcast for 300 episodes and we are 5 years older than we were when we started. But do I look very youthful today?
You look so youthful, yeah, Kathleen. Thanks. Why do you look so youthful?
I look youthful because I'm wearing a choker necklace.
Can you pan your camera down? I actually can't see your neck.
Oh, hang on. I got some boogies. Hang on. Okay.
Look at that choker. You should be on 90210, girl.
Whenever I want to seem younger than I am, I put on a choker necklace. And I'm telling you, it works.
Is that a proper choker or is it a ribbon?
No, it's a proper choker. It's a beaded choker.
It's really pretty.
I need to get more chokers in my life just so I can feel like I'm 29 again.
Sometimes if I want to feel French, I just tie a black ribbon around my neck with a little bow in the front. If I want to feel like I'm a haunted girl whose head could fall off, I tie a green ribbon around my neck with a bow in the back.
Do you have a stamp on your face?
I do. I have three.
What is that, a sticker or a stamp? What is
it? It's a stamp. So I was here is it. So I was at CVS. This is not an ad, but CVS has this.
As all good adventures begin at CVS.
CVS has this store brand called Paparazzi.
Okay.
And their stuff is actually really legit. They don't test on animals. I really, really like it. And they have this dual-ended tattoo pen for face and body. So one side is liquid eyeliner.
Yeah.
And then the other side is a stamp.
No way.
This stamp is a moon. You can't really see it.
You look like a beautiful rave girl.
Thank you. I feel like a blogger. Can you see? I'm going to hold my hand behind it. Can you see? I don't know why.
Yeah, I can kind of see it. Yeah.
This one's a star.
Oh, look at that. You got moons and stars on your face.
Yeah.
That's very cool. You look like a performer. You should sing us a song. Sing us something sexy.
Should I sing Good Morning Baltimore from Hairspray?
Good morning, that's a good, it's a really good musical. Did you ever see that on Broadway? I did. Amanda Bynes was in it.
No,
she's in the movie.
She was in the movie.
Yeah.
No, I have not actually seen any of it. But my voice teacher, back when I was taking vocal lessons, had me singing Good Morning Baltimore, and I love Baltimore, and I loved it.
Baltimore. Vocal lessons are so fun. Bethany, I love taking singing lessons. I've been doing it for fun, only fun.
Yeah,
Fun and no profit. And I've been singing all sorts of songs. And my voice teacher is like, okay, as a podcaster, let's work on different styles. And so I've been trying to sing Adele. Have you ever tried to sing Adele? Like, Adele is very hard.
Her songs start low.
Yeah.
And then go high.
Go high. Okay, so
and that's the problem.
Here's the trick I learned. Okay, I want you to do this. Take your forefinger and your thumb and squeeze the bottom of your chin. Like that.
Okay, but it's going to make my makeup come off on my fingers.
And then your jaw's really loose. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. And then if you want to sing Adele, you just need a loose jaw and you need to underpronunciate like, everybody love was the thing.
Everybody love was the thing.
From the way you talk to the way you. You just need a loose lower jaw. She doesn't pop music. I have learned they don't pronunciate anything.
Who is it? Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
Does not enunciate any of her words. I was listening to a song of hers this morning, and it was she's like, I love it on the get up. I want to be there. I want you. And I'm never going to get it. I want it. I need you.
Yeah.
Everybody. I'm like, this song is a bop.
Her jaw never really moves. And that's the secret. Like, think about Britney Spears. We always do Britney Spears impressions, but like, oh, baby, baby. Like, you're barely even pronunciating.
Enunciating.
Do you know that laundromat is actually laundromat, one word, and it's not laundry and mat?
Like this. Wait, now is this have we changed topics now, or are we still talking about enunciating?
No, I'm talking about things that words I don't know. I'm sorry. I did a hard left and I didn't give you a heads up. I'm sorry. I'm really hyper today. I don't know what's the matter with me.
Laundromat.
I thought it was laundry, new word, mat.
Oh, yeah. No, it's one word. Mine like haberdashery. Blown. It's one word.
Mine is one.
Okay, because it's our 300th episode, I want to read this awesome email we got. I think he said we can use his name. So we'll say his name. It's Garrett. And this just made me really happy. So permission to read this email?
Yeah, permission granted.
Okay. It says, hello, ladies. I just wanted to say that listening to your podcast is a breath of fresh air. If anyone looked at me, they would probably never guess I listen to a podcast like yours. I'm a Black man, mid-30s, that spent a lot of my life trying to be cool. A history of that is I used to be a dorky kid, which are the best kind of kids, by the way. I was mostly interested in things Black people weren't usually interested in. I was teased and bullied because I was a dork and I didn't act like the typical Black person. So I changed my personality to be more, quote, cool. I wonder what that looked like, because I also tried to change my personality to be cool, but that meant like wearing a hat with a flower in the front and, you know, wearing like rings.
Yeah, I pretended to like hacky sacks for a really long time. Mm-hmm. They don't bounce. They're not fun.
They don't bounce. They're not fun. You have to do all the work. Okay, Garrett continues, I have an older brother that balanced being a nerd and cool at the same time. He was more cool than nerd, but that could just be me being a younger brother. I tried to mimic him. I felt more comfortable being around the nerds and the dorks and the geeks, etc. They did all of the cool stuff that I like doing. That's a reason why I'm an avid listener to your podcast. Both of your dorkiness is comforting to me. I feel unpressured being around them. I also think that I think he means like dorks. Like they also think I'm the coolest person around. I still feel like I'm mentally as mature as my age. I still feel like a dork, but I've been faking cool for so long that it's my personality. Then he specifies what he likes. Here's what he likes about you, Kathleen.
Oh, okay.
I like how Kathleen can be in the most dangerous or scary situation and have an odd thought that has nothing to do with the situation, i.e. being attacked by the Annabelle doll and she's complimenting Annabelle's outfit.
Listen, it's the small things in life.
I also like Bethany's open mouth belly laugh. Even though I can't see you, I imagine your head cocked back, bellowing out a laugh from deep in your gut. Yeah, that's about right.
Oh.
Garrett says, feel free to do what you want with this email. And that's from Garrett. So, Garrett, thank you so much.
Yes. I think that the main message that we try to embody with our podcast is embrace the weird, be silly, be creative, and just, you know, let your freak flag fly.
Yeah, if your friends don't like you, get new friends. Don't change yourself.
Yeah.
Your friends are probably dumb. You know, if your friends don't like you or the people around you don't like you, they're probably dumb.
Dance naked.
And that's not your fault.
Play the flute in your tap shoes.
Yeah, yeah. Or play the tap in your flute shoes. You do whatever you need to do.
Read at a laundromat.
Which is apparently one word.
Bethany, what is one thing that you've done lately that made you feel silly or happy or just was plain strange?
I don't know if I feel silly. Mm-hmm. Something that made me happy. What have I done? I definitely cleared out a closet yesterday that was needing to happen. And I just like was like, this isn't serving me.
Yeah.
Got rid of a bunch of stuff. I have bags and bags for the thrift store.
Buy stuff.
Yeah. Like I think clearing out a giant storage closet, it's that closet where you just put everything, that made me really happy. That was good. What about you?
I did a Fosse dance for my mom, you know, complete with like isolating my body parts and jazz hands. And I was like, Mommy, follow me, do as I do. And we just started doing very poor imitations of Fosse to all that jazz. So I've been listening to a lot of Broadway tunes. So yeah, that, and it just felt good. I was like, I don't care if we don't have any curtains.
I know you mean like people can see you, but it sounds like I don't care if we can't afford curtains. We're going to dance to Fosse, you know, like everyone does.
Oh, well, cheers to 300. We did it, baby girl.
Cheers to 300 and cheers to you, gentle listener. We all did it together.
Cheers.
Ting.
Boop.
So, Kathleen, the world is very hard and people are wondering what the hell they're going to do with their lives, I think.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I think a lot of people are having a crisis of identity right now.
Yes. I heard on the radio this morning that like today is the 1 year anniversary of the first case of corona coming to the US or being seen in the US. Like it's been a year. So one thing that has been happening to me behind the scenes a little bit is that I've had a really hard time deciding if I want to continue pursuing like the creative endeavors that I'm doing. Like, you know, acting, trying to get representation as an actress, working on selling these shows. And I ultimately came to the conclusion that, yes, I am going to continue to pursue this. Like, there's nothing else that I want, you know, to do when it comes to like performance. I love to perform and I get to talk and perform in a way on this podcast, but I need to like be in front of people and I need to work with people on a set. And it's just something I really love. And so...
So you feel like maybe a little piece of you is missing.
Yeah, exactly.
And
like
a crisis of identity is upon you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, it's... This podcast fills my soul about 50% of the way up. And the other 50% is acting and collaborating. And so... Without this podcast, I'd be a depleted shell of a human being. So, like, thank God. But there's still...
You would have no reason to research Victorian ladies and witches in caves and all of the good stuff that life is made of.
And where would we be, you know?
Yeah.
So, but...
Well, I'm glad you're not giving up, Bethany.
No, I'm not giving up. But there were a couple days there that were a little touch and go.
Okay.
But
I feel that... You know what? I 100% relate. I feel that way every time I try to become a runner. So I 100% don't know where you are coming from.
You know that zombie, like the zombie run couch to 5K? There's like a zombie app that helps you. So I've tried to do couch to 5Ks a couple of times. And
yeah,
I'm
same.
Always doing great until the time where you have to actually run.
You mean the walking part you're really good at?
Yeah. And they're like, okay, now run for a minute. And I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No, no. And
I know the zombie run like didn't work for me because I was like, okay, fuck off zombies. Do not tell me what to do. Like,
I wish it worked. I know it works for some people and I wish that I was one of those, but I'm just, I'm not good at it. Okay. So one of the things that I really had to come to terms with was, am I going to quit something that is my dream and has been my dream for so long? Mm-hmm. And as such, I started doing some research on questions you should ask yourself if you're thinking of giving up on a dream or a really big goal that you've had maybe your whole life.
Yeah.
And whether it's the right idea to keep pushing or the right idea to walk away.
Yeah.
And I think that like a lot of people are going through this and I think it's interesting to look at.
Yeah.
So one person whose name is Theo Sasoudis, he wrote an article in Psychology Today called "Is It Time to Give Up on Your Dreams?" which is a really happy title.
Oh yeah, God bless Psychology Today because they keep the wheels spinning, and their articles sometimes are so freaking depressing.
Yeah, real depressing, but like they get to the point, and you know what you're getting into. Mm-hmm. So he made the really interesting point that our society views failure as a much more positive thing than we used to. Failing, he says, has become a lot more acceptable in the realm of goal achievement than quitting. Yeah. There's a difference between failure and quitting.
Yeah, well, because failure, you learn a lesson
from
what didn't work previously.
Right,
and there's that whole concept of like a hashtag failing up,
right? Yes, exactly. Failure indicates strength. It means that you have tried something and now you know what doesn't work, but you just keep trying until you find what does. He says quitting implies weakness. And so this fear of being seen as weak keeps people in bad jobs, keeps people in bad relationships, keeps people believing promises that are not good for them because they don't want to be seen as a quitter.
Wow.
And it can really eat into people. And you know, I know people who have gotten a divorce when the marriage wasn't toxic, the partner wasn't abusive, the partner was a really nice person, but they were seen as a quitter because they gave up, quote unquote, on a perfectly good marriage, even if it wasn't a good marriage for them.
A failing marriage doesn't mean that there has to be something inherently wrong with your partner. It just means that you're not happy.
Yeah, you've grown apart.
You've grown apart. You're not happy. I've never thought about quitting versus failing in this way before. And my mind is really blown right now.
It's so interesting. And I have someone in my life right now who's really struggling with a job. Actually, I have a couple people.
Yeah.
And they are trying everything they can think of to make this job work out because they don't want to quit it until they know that they've exhausted every possibility, which I fully understand and respect. But I wish that there was less of a stigma of sometimes it's just not going to work and that's okay.
Yeah. And it's okay to move on. Yeah.
Yeah. So here are some questions that you should ask yourself when you want to give up on a dream. And these are some things that I asked myself. So, and to be clear, like there's a difference between staying in a marriage, like because even if it's not good, and like giving up on your dream of being, you know, like they're not, we kind of got a little in the weeds, but like they're not the same thing. So
yeah,
first of all, why did you want to pursue this goal to begin with? Mm-hmm. And has anything changed? Mm. Do you still, let's say you want to start your own jewelry business. Do you still really want to start your own jewelry business? Do you still daydream about your website and like people coming to your store, people putting in orders? Yeah. If you still dream about it and you still really want to do it, keep doing it.
Yes, because when you dream about it, that means that it's fun.
Means it's fun. Means that you still have a passion for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you been operating with too much information? This is something I was doing, where you're reading up on all of the other jewelry businesses out there and you're doing studies and you're looking at analyses and you're looking at sales in January versus sales in July. And then you're looking at the number of stores in your area and you're looking at the types of stores and the types of jewelry made and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You can get so overwhelmed with information that you feel paralyzed.
Yes.
And also it's really easy to just fall into research and just safely research and never actually do it.
And never do it. You know, entrepreneurs say, every entrepreneur that I've ever listened to a podcast with, they're like, just put something out. Whatever your dream is, don't wait for perfection. Put it out and perfect it along the way, because a lot of times your customer base or your followers, whomever they may be, appreciate you being honest about your failures and your successes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I posted a trailer over the weekend for a web series that John, my partner John, and I did several years ago. And like the quality of the work we've done since is so much better. But we put it out there because we did it a while ago. We still love it. We're proud of it. It's not perfect. It's like, it looks like it's low budget because we had no money.
Yeah.
You know, and someone criticized it for looking low budget. And I'm like, it's, you just put stuff out there and you'll get better as time goes on.
You know what? That person, I saw what you wrote on your story. It's easier to criticize than it is to create. So fuck off.
Okay. Here's another question to ask yourself. Mm-hmm. What's the worst that will happen if you keep going and don't reach your goal?
Yeah.
If you don't keep going, you're not going to know how far you could have gone, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. That's something to think about.
What does that mean to you personally in terms of acting?
What's the worst that will happen if you keep going and don't reach your goal?
Yeah.
I mean, the worst that could happen is that I don't reach my goal, but at least I won't wonder.
Perfect.
Because I've realized that there's nothing else for me in terms of this.
Yeah.
There's nothing else I want to do.
It's what makes you happiest. And
you're
in the pursuit of happiness. And you and Will Smith.
Yes. I hope it ends better. That was 7 pounds.
No, The Pursuit of Happiness, he gets a job and his son, they're not homeless anymore, I believe.
Oh, great.
Right? Happiness. Wonderful. with a Y. Of an I. Mm-hmm.
I never saw that movie. I don't know why it is like that.
Because you're supposed to ask yourself, why aren't you happy?
Oh, is that what it is?
I just came up with that right now.
Oh, because I totally believe that was what the movie was about. A couple more questions to ask yourself.
Okay.
Are you afraid of succeeding?
I mean, you have said that before on this podcast, that you are afraid of succeeding.
Totally, because I'm afraid what my life will look like and will it be more busy than I can handle?
Like years ago, I worked for a bridesmaid's dress designer and she got a chance to be on the Fast Track audition for, what was that Tim Gunn show?
Project Runway.
Project Runway. Because she went to Parsons and she had connections and she was an amazing designer. And they're like, you would be great on the cast. Here's a ticket to your Fast Track audition. And she chickened out because I wholeheartedly believe that she was afraid of success. Yeah. And back at the office, the few of us that work there were like, we got this. We can run this business with our eyes closed. You go do you and make this business famous, and then we will work for you for the rest of our lives. I would have worked for her for the rest of my life, and she got in the way of her own success. And a lot of people do that, I think.
A lot of people do that. Yep.
Yeah.
Here's a couple more things to think about. Are you acting on impulse or emotion instead of thinking things through? Are you frustrated? Are you mad? Did something happen and you're just like, you know what? Screw it. I quit. And you shut down your website and you fire, you know, take some time.
What was going through your mind when you were thinking about quitting acting? Like, what was your screw it, I quit moment?
So I have an opportunity, which I took, to pass my material and my work along to a series of managers who may or may not.
That's huge.
It's big. It's huge. And it's very legit and they're very good.
Yeah.
And in doing so, I had to sort of plead my case because this felt like a last shot. Because during pandemic, during corona, At the very beginning, I had reached out to several agencies and said, hey, here's who I am. Here's all of my work. Like, here's what I've done. I would love to be represented by you. And I got zero response from any of them except one who emailed me back an incredibly rude email, basically saying, like, never email us again from an initial, like, one email. So
people,
it was just this frustration.
Yeah.
And I finally was like, you know what? I've worked so hard. And if these people don't take me, I don't know if I can work this hard for this prolonged of a period.
Yeah, because did you feel tired?
For much longer. I was tired. Yeah. I was tired. I was down. I was really depressed.
Creatively drained.
Creatively drained, frustrated, feeling like you're yelling into the void and no one cares. You know, just all of that stuff.
Well, I mean, I think the pandemic for a lot of people has turned the amp up on any underlying feelings of depression that were there before but maybe hadn't come to the surface and turned the volume down on a lot of opportunities. And I have friends who were actively pursuing getting new jobs and then had to actively stop and find a way to just maintain their sanity in jobs that they hate right now because they couldn't go on interviews, or the companies that they wanted to work for that were previously hiring before the pandemic stopped hiring because like a lot of companies are not making money like they used to these days. And I think a lot – like I have one particular friend who then found an outlet – in cooking.
Oh, fun.
And because she felt creatively drained, she's like, I'm just going to start cooking every night and I'm going to watch a video online about how to photograph food. And she's been making all these amazing recipes, and it forced her to look in a place previously that she never would have looked.
Yeah. 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 Find something else.
And it opened up a new passion to her that she didn't even know was like underlying there.
That's wonderful. That's real. I think a lot of people, baking bread has been big for people. Here's a really important question. Would you enjoy giving a loved one the honest explanation for why you gave up? Mm. And here is the example.
Yeah.
Would you like telling your daughter, quote, I stopped trying to quit smoking because cigarettes are more important to me than having more golden years to spend with you?
Wow.
Another one was, would it be fun to tell your mother, yeah, I decided not to go to school because I'd rather spend all my time with my boyfriend of 3 months rather than prepare for a career that will ensure I won't end up jobless and homeless.
That was the first episode of the Gilmore Girls. Rory gets into this fancy private school and she's like, never mind, mom, after she meets a hot boy at her public school. Never mind, mom, I don't want to go to fancy Chilton. I would like to stay at public school. And you don't know if I can get into Harvard if I stay at public school, because of a boy.
A boy.
A boy.
You know what? Never worth it. Never worth it. Never worth it. Never worth it.
Well, if they're the prince of like a country.
No, never worth
it. Sometimes worth it.
Nope. Look. Look at how Meghan Markle gave up her whole career to be a princess.
You're right.
And now look at how unhappy she was.
Yeah. And they had to leave the monarchy. They had to say, peace out, monarchy.
I am on record saying that was the bad idea.
Mm.
Don't give up your career just to be a princess. Because guess what?
Yeah.
Now all you do is public appearances and you never get to actually do anything you want to do. And you're stuck.
You're not. You know what? Anyway. Now that I look at it from that perspective, you're right. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yep. Being a princess isn't just laying around. So here are some, I'm going to go really quickly through. Here's when you should give up.
Okay.
Here's when you should give up. If you don't have a passion or enthusiasm for the dream anymore.
Mm.
When the person who wanted that dream is no longer the person you are. Or when the process of getting to the end goal is more draining than it is fun or challenging or inspiring. Yeah.
It's got to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be fun.
If you're only holding on to this dream because it's all you've ever known, but you actually don't really know if that's you anymore.
Mm.
If you're pursuing the dream because it feels good to pursue something, even if it's not good for you anymore.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of people out there are addicted to the pursuit.
Yep.
You know, it's kind of like people who go to school for a living. You know, you go to college and then you get your undergrad and then you get your master's and then you get your second master's and then you get your PhD and then you get your second PhD and then you get your doctorate. And then, I mean, I don't even know if any of the, like, does doctorate come before PhD? And then you're 45 and you're like, let's go to law school. And I think some people are just addicted to the pursuit and they're afraid to actually do it. Someone that I know was dating this this girl, and she had gone to school for so many years to be a veterinarian. And when she actually graduated and time had come to put her veterinarian schooling into practice, she was like, I can't do this. I'm too afraid.
Yeah. It's scary. And the last reason to give up is if you realize that you're living someone else's dream.
Oh, like your parents or no?
Like your parents are like, oh, you're going to be a lawyer. And then you're like, okay, I'm going to be a lawyer. And then you realize you really just want to read people's crystals in Ojai, California. Can I tell you when not to give up?
Yeah.
Don't give up if it's just too hard. You can do it.
You can do
it. Don't give up if you don't know how to make it happen. Yeah. No one knows how to make it happen. You figure it out along the way. Mm-hmm. Don't give up if it's just not working, because you don't know what is happening behind the scenes. Maybe connections are being made that you don't even know about that will show up in your life, and then all of a sudden it's going to work.
Yeah.
Don't give up if others don't believe in you or your dreams. Just you have to find new people. And don't give up if you don't think you're good enough, because you aren't perfect. No one is, but you have to focus on your strengths, build yourself up. And
I love that.
That's it.
Can I make a request of you?
Sure.
Just because I really like role playing. Could you like come to this podcast in a different character?
No, absolutely not.
But then why not?
No, I don't want to do that.
Come on. Can you come to this podcast as a curmudgeon-y old man in a paperboy cap, talking about what do curmudgeon-y old mans in paper talking about why their lawn won't grow?
We're talking about chemtrails.
I'm gonna call you Mr. Sotherby.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a nightmare. But but thank you for trying. That sounds like an absolute hell.
What if you come to this podcast as a teenage girl named Melinda, and she's breaking up with her boyfriend for the 17th time, and all she likes to drink is I don't know, what do teenagers drink? Probably water, because they're more woke than we were when
moonshine?
We were that age.
Do moonshine. Teenagers drink moonshine?
Oh, yes, a teenager named Melinda addicted to moonshine. Ooh, moonshine. Come to the podcast like that.
She's been making it in her bathtub.
Yeah. No,
But thank you, but no thank you.
Well, I'm giving up on my...
You look so...
I'm giving up on my dream of becoming a character writer.
I'm sorry. You have to find a new group of people who believe in your dream.
GD. Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen.
In honor of our 300th episode today, I'm going back to an oldie but a goodie.
Ooh, are you going back to playing a jug like it's an old-timey instrument?
No, I never did that. What are you talking about? No, talk about this podcast, girlfriend.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I'm going back to, and I'm going to adjust my glasses here so you know that I'm very serious.
Okay.
I'm going back to Weird News Rundown.
I love Weird News Rundown. It's my favorite thing you do.
Thank you. Okay. Story number one.
Okay.
The CIA has released the entire collection, their entire collection of UFO-related documents to a truth-seeking website.
What?
Yes, the big fat book. You know, like the big fat package that says, you have been accepted to college, as opposed to like the email that's like, oh, thanks for trying.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and we have to thank Truth Seekers for this, because they, during quarantine, have been legit trolling the CIA to get these documents. Truth Seekers were like, hey, CIA, there is this thing called the Freedom of Information Act, and they've sent like unlimited requests for this information. So the CIA was like, ugh, whatever. Okay.
A little bit like in The Shawshank Redemption when they just kept sending, when what's his name, just Dufresne, just kept sending letters and letters and letters trying to get books for the, for the jail. And then they finally just sent him books.
I'm going to say yes. I've never seen that movie, but I'm going to say yes. Yes, exactly good. Like that. So it's all been released to this website. You can download all the documents for yourself at theblackvault.com. It is more than three decades worth of government UFO records. Yep. I know. So the data dump arrives months before officials from the U.S. Department of Defense and Intelligence are due to appear before Congress to spill their guts on everything they know about UFOs. So that's happening in a couple of months.
Here's one. July 13th, 1979. Sighting location, Santa Clarita Valley, California, U.S. Summary, close-up sighting of extraterrestrial craft by wife and I, reported in 2005. duration 45 seconds, number of witnesses 2. Here's drawings they made.
Very cool stuff.
Fascinating.
Yes. And so, yeah, in late December 2020, all released. You can go over it and pursue UFO intelligence yourself.
Love this. I bet they're also banking on the fact that they released so much that no one will go through all of it.
Yeah, but they underestimate how much time people have on their hands.
It's true. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. True. Story number 2.
Okay.
This is so sad. I'm going to cry thinking about this, but it's funny but sad. Okay. There is a man in San Francisco. His name is Stephen Thomas. This comes from upi.com. Okay. He has I can't even say it. So he has Bitcoins.
Yeah.
Worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
Except he can't access them because he forgot his password. Now, this is a problem because he has $220 million worth of Bitcoin locked away on a hard drive that is set to erase its data after 10 password attempts. So all of the data about his $220 million worth of Bitcoin, it'll all be released. He is at password guess number 8.
So he has 2 guesses left before everything gets erased and he loses all of his money.
Can you imagine?
Okay, this is one of the reasons that I don't have Bitcoin, because there's
just one.
Because this is just one of them. Because I lost the master password for my password keeper. So I don't know how to get all my passwords anymore. So there's like a bunch of things I'm still locked out of because I can't remember those passwords. And that
really?
Would be because I think I've talked about this already. I am cocky and I'm like, I'll remember. I'm clever.
So this weird password thing has been happening to me recently. I have been getting these messages from Google Chrome that's like, your password has been detected on the dark web.
Yeah.
You need to change your password. Is that a thing that's been happening to you on Chrome lately?
I mean, it happens a ton. I get a lot of things where it's like, oh, by the way, you know, your email's on the dark web. Yeah, like, yeah, everyone's is. Like, I probably should be more concerned about it than I am.
And so Chrome was like, here are 50 websites that you have passwords saved into. You have to change the password for 50 websites.
What are some of them? Do you recognize all of them?
I mean, yeah, it's like, it's stuff that I use, like my meal service plan and TurboTax and all sorts of stuff. Ooh. And so I've like been slowly every day trying to go through at least 2 or 3 websites and change my password.
That's awful.
And, you know, I this weekend I made fun of my mom and my mother-in-law for having these notebooks in their houses that they write down their passwords in. But like, they're kind of smart.
That's kind of the way to do it, because what happens if you lose your phone?
Yeah.
And like, you know, I try to use a different password for everything.
Oh, you're good. You're better than I am.
Well, but yeah. Also then I forget. Like, over a year ago, you did a really cool topic about how to create hack-proof passwords. Mm-hmm. And the guy talked about, like, how did he do it?
So, okay. So let's say you're signing up for HelloFresh. Okay. You know, or so it's food related. So HelloFresh, and you would say, I'm going to remember this password by thinking like dinner, spaghetti, delivery. And so your password could be like DSD, you know, and like come up with a story about the password. So every time you log into HelloFresh, you're like, oh yeah, that's like dinner, spaghetti, delivery, tomato, and then my niece's birthday or something, you know, something like that.
My password for Amazon pertains to tall women, because I think of Amazon, I think of Amazons, I think of tall women, right? So that's like what I try to do.
So your password is extra large gauchos.
Okay. Well, now I have to change it. 6969.
Okay. So anyway, this guy who can't access his $220 million worth of Bitcoin, he has come to peace with it. He says he has come to peace with it. You sort of question your own self-worth, he told ABC 7 News. What kind of person loses something this important? I've come to peace with it. It was actually a really big milestone in my life where I sort of realized how much I was going to define my self-worth going forward, and it wasn't going to be about how much money I had in my bank account.
Okay. He's telling himself lies because he's real sad about it. I mean, Kathleen, would you hire a hacker? But then the hacker maybe steals your Bitcoin, and you also have to trust a really good hacker because they only have 2 attempts.
First of all, I don't understand how Bitcoin can be only on the hard drive. Isn't it also on the internet? It's like, I just don't understand this whole concept.
I think it's like serial number based or something. You have to have like the serial number of it. And there's no main source. There's no like main list.
Why didn't he write that down? It's $220 million. He probably is rich in other ways, and this $220 million is like, whatever.
Like, he's rich in love and experience?
No, he's rich in money in other ways, oh, I can okay. guarantee you. Okay.
He probably didn't write it down because when he made the password, it was worth like $6, and now it's worth a lot. That's my guess.
I know someone who invested $100 in Bitcoin, forgot about it, turned into $14,000.
Do they remember their password?
Yeah, they got it out. They like got it out, took it out.
Great.
Okay, here's another story. It's a happy story. It's sad then happy. Ready?
Okay.
A missing cat was found 3 years after a California mudslide.
Oh, buddy, what happened?
This comes from the lifestyle section of FoxNews.com.
Great.
A woman was reunited with her cat after a fatal mudslide. The pet cat was believed to have been killed in the mudslide 3 years ago. And Patches, the name of the calico cat that went missing in Montecito, California, was found at a shelter 3 years after the mudslide, after the cat disappeared.
Sweet baby. So they got reunited?
Heavy rains on the hills and wildfires caused the mudslide, killed 23 people. This happened on January 9th, 2018. 1,400 homes in Montecito were damaged. 107 were completely destroyed. And turns out that the cat has just been hanging out in the neighborhood. It wasn't that far from home. It was in a half-mile radius.
The thought breaks my heart. I mean, I'm glad the cat's okay.
Yeah, when the shelter got the cat, it was microchipped, and that's how they found the owner again.
Microchips are the best.
Oh my goodness.
I want to be microchipped. Is that bad?
No.
Does that get into like weird?
No.
Like,
I want to be microchipped too. Absolutely. You know, it's real funny coming from you who doesn't like having Amazon Alexa, saying that you want a microchip.
It's true. No, it's
you won't
true.
Even do 23andMe.
Right. I do not want to be microchipped. You're right. You're correct. I do not want to be microchipped.
I do. Because if I ever get kidnapped, I want them to just, if my face is burned and they can't identify the body, I want them to scan my microchip.
Well, that's a dental rec. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Not to totally hijack.
No, you can go hijack away.
Okay. You know how they say that they identify someone by dental records?
Yeah.
Okay. How does the family know which dentist to reach out to? To get those records. And this is a legitimate question that's bothered me for years. Because if something, heaven forbid, something happens to me and you have to go by my dental records.
Yeah.
I have gone flipsy flopsy loosey goosey on the dentist I've been going to my entire life.
Oh.
You wouldn't know which dentist to reach out to. And I think it's HIPAA, so they can't say whether or not I've been there.
Oh. Well, I think when it's the police trying to identify a body, I think that HIPAA does not apply.
So investigators are literally like calling every dentist in New York City being like, hey, is world famous podcaster Bethany Watson a client here?
That is a good question. I never thought about that.
If you are an investigator or a dentist or a forensic odontologist, will you please tell us how people access and know the dentist to reach out to for dental records? Bothered me for years.
And do teeth not burn either?
No, because sometimes when you get cremated, there's still like bone shards and stuff.
Oh, so your teeth.
But like usually it's like if someone, you know, no longer is able to be identified by their face, but their teeth are probably still okay.
Let's take this one step further. Let's say your last dental records are at the dentist. Okay. And then let's say you went to a different country. Let's say you went to Brazil to get your teeth fixed. And so then your teeth don't look like what the last dental record looked like.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What if you got braces out of the back of a truck and now your teeth are like in a different place and they, you know, they don't know. This has been bothering me for so long. And I just, no one's been able to answer it.
We have to tell our friend Dina. Our friend Dina, who colors her hair, she just went to Brazil to get something done on her teeth. She got her teeth fixed in Brazil. I know, it's so weird. But it, like, good for her because it's going to make her happy. Her teeth look amazing. She just got her teeth done in Brazil. She had this appointment long before COVID and she couldn't change it. So she went and she's going to quarantine when she gets back. But now I need to tell her that in case she gets murdered, she needs to get those records from that dentist and give them to her dentist here in the United States.
I would say yes. And then I'm going to say and I'm going to and on to you.
Yeah.
Print out those dental records and keep them with your personal files. So that, like, they know where your teeth are.
Yeah. I mean, on Law and Order, it's always like a downer when they're like, wah, wah, don't have any dental records for this Jane Doe. You know?
Exactly. But that's the other thing is it's like, is there a collective resource somewhere that the police have where like all the dentists send records.
Oh, there probably is.
But that feels illegal because that feels like it's private information.
Maybe it's just like, hey, we have the record of this person in case, you know what, we need, if there's a detective, somebody listening to this, please let us know. Email us. This is very important.
Yeah. How do you get dental records when you're a detective? This legit question. Please email us now.
Okay. Moving on to my next story. It's just a lot of California stories I've been doing today.
It's a weird state.
And not on purpose. And you know, we made a comment about California a couple podcasts ago where we inferred that people in California don't work and they just hang out and life is better in California.
Did we?
Yes. And then we got a voicemail and an email from Taste Buds. It might just be one Taste Bud in California that's like, we actually work really hard here and it's not all about just surfing at the beach.
I would hope we were sarcastic.
Yeah, I feel terrible. My whole family lives in California. They live in New Jersey or California. So like, am I allowed to make digs at California? I don't know.
I mean, usually if we're making a blanket statement, we're usually being sarcastic. Yeah. I would hope that's being picked up on, but maybe not. And maybe we're just not good at sarcasm.
I believe real life does exist in California, for the record.
Yeah, I know. We've been there and we've seen it happen.
There are hardships in California. Okay, so here's the story. There's a guy in California off the coast of Los Angeles, who is flying around, and I shouldn't say guy, but I think they have identified it as a man because they finally got it on video. He's been flying around in a jetpack.
This I've heard of.
So there's a jetpack man off the coast of LA. So there is a flight school in Los Angeles. The flight school is...
We don't do anything because it's California flight school.
No, it's a Sling Pilot Academy. Someone from Sling Pilot Academy was out flying and they finally got video footage of this jetpack man just hanging out, caught on video, soaring 3,000 feet above Palos Verdes near Catalina Island with a jetpack. The mystery aeronaut has been spotted at least twice before in the summer and the fall, and now there's a video posted to the Instagram account of Sling Pilot Academy, a local aviation school. I'm going to include the link to that video in our show notes, but gentle listener, if you just want to head over there now, it's at Sling Pilot Academy.
This dude is going to get sucked up into a jet.
The video, which the school said is from one of the flight instructors, appears to show a solitary man sailing through the sky above the water with a jetpack on his back. And he's wearing a suit, some sort of suit.
It's amazing because this dude has been going, right? They said like the fall was the first time someone saw him.
Yeah.
No one knows who he is. And he's been getting away with it, which means he has to live, I think, nearby or has to like launch from someplace that no one sees him launching.
Local police, the FBI, and the Federal Aviation Administration have all announced that they are investigating this guy and they still haven't caught him.
And we know it's not Elon Musk, right?
That would be my Musk move. That would be my first move as an investigator to go visit Elon Musk.
You have just the right combination of smarts, electrical ingenuity, and douchebaggery to be the kind of guy who's going to carry this off.
Given the opportunity for a flight suit and a jetpack, would you take that opportunity?
No.
Really?
No, because I don't want to.
Okay.
I feel like...
That's a good enough answer.
I feel like I'm going to fall and hurt myself. Mm. I don't want to get sucked into an airplane. Mm. I'm scared. Being so high scares me. Would you do it?
You know, before quarantine, my answer would have been a definite hard no. But now I'm like, YOLO. You know?
I like that you're busting another phrase from like 2015.
Do the kids still say YOLO?
Yeah, and they drink moonshine, as we covered before.
Okay, here's a story that's like a little bit sad, but also very funny, but a little bit sad. Okay, you ready?
Is this the one about Jamie Lynn Spears and her cats?
What? No, you tell me that story.
I don't want to talk about it.
Why?
Edit.
Okay. No, leave that in. We'll just move on.
Yeah, just look it up.
Okay. A pigeon survived an 8,000-mile journey from Oregon to Australia.
Buddy!
A racing pigeon has survived this journey across the Pacific Ocean. Authorities say that now that it's in Australia, the bird is going to be killed because it came from the U.S. and Australia's like, the U.S. is not in good shape right now.
Australia's very strict about their like animals coming in laws.
Yeah. And so this bird made this amazing journey. It's literally the Amelia Earhart of birds. And now they're going to kill it.
That sucks. Can some... Oh, that you know, sucks.
Remember when Johnny Depp had those two dogs that he brought illegally into the country and then he had to charter a flight to get the dogs out of the country because they were like, we're going to euthanize your dogs.
And they had to make that really awkward apology video.
Very, they're like, very awkward.
We are sorry that we brought in Boo and Pim into your country. Australia is filled with beautiful natural resources that can be damaged by animals coming in.
And if we have learned anything during this whole COVID pandemic is that Australia is right. One little virus can ruin a whole country.
I know. But could they maybe like collect the pigeon and bring him back to the U.S.?
I know. So it turns out that the pigeon hitched a ride on a cargo ship across the Pacific. His feet, this pigeon's feet of travel has made headlines. But they say if it's from America, they're concerned about the bird diseases and they're quarantining the bird for now, but it's probably going to be euthanized.
That makes me sad.
I know.
That makes me sad.
Can't Donnie Depp just charter a plane for this dang bird and do something good?
Donnie Depp, he has enough money and I think he spends it recklessly enough that that's probably not out of the realm of possibility.
It's like opening your suitcase and a little mouse came with you.
Buddy!
What would you do?
You know? Keep him.
Keep him, right?
Yeah. Keep him. Okay. Or, okay, honestly, this is probably what I'd do. Mm-hmm. Am I on vacation?
You're on vacation.
And I'm going back home?
You're going back home and...
Yeah, so I would probably... Mm-hmm. Like, give him a really nice life while we're there. Like, keep him fed and everything, and then bring him back home.
Yeah.
And then let him loose where we were so that he, like, goes back to his own home instead of, like, letting him out into this foreign territory he knows nothing about.
Mm. Yeah.
What would you do?
Yeah, I would probably do the same thing because New York pathogens, it's like, you got to get acclimated to those. You can't just release animals.
And mice are cute. They're like puppies, but small.
I know, little puppies. Okay.
Wall puppies.
Here's another really good story. Okay. Weird headline. Four strangers named Paul O'Sullivan have formed a band despite living in different cities around the world. Listen, once upon a time, I haven't done it in a while. Every now and then I'll go on Facebook, type in the name Kathleen Heaney, and then I'll friend everybody with my same name.
How many of them have accepted the friend request?
Quite a lot. Quite a lot.
Really?
Yes. There's a really famous Kathleen Heaney, who goes by Katie Heaney, and she's an author, and she does like a lot of writing for BuzzFeed and other famous online websites.
That's cool.
Yeah. But anyway, I do this pretty often. I also used to friend people with the last name Heaney because I was like, I don't know, maybe you know something about me that I don't know. Like, are we family? Turns out none of them were family. But Paul O'Sullivan from Baltimore, he put on Facebook and started friending Paul O'Sullivan's, and they all ended up becoming good friends. He said, one night I just indiscriminately started adding Paul O'Sullivan's on Facebook. A good amount of them accepted my request. This is what he told to CBS News. Eventually, their stuff started showing up in my news feeds. And I'm like, wait a minute, we're all musicians. You know, it feels kind of like the universe was daring me to do something with this serendipitous scenario. So Paul O'Sullivan of Baltimore started reaching out to Paul O'Sullivan's all over the world. And three Pauls agreed to form a musical group with him, aptly named the Paul O'Sullivan Band. Manchester Paul is on the bass. Pennsylvania Paul is on the percussion. Baltimore Paul and Rotterdam Paul are guitar and vocal.
I love this.
And they made a song. Yeah, they made it. The song is, I watched a music video, listened to the song. Not great. But should I play a little part of it?
You should play a little part of it. Do they have merch? I'll wear their merch.
I know.
Let us go.
It sounds like an early 2000s kind of song. I like it. It reminds me of like...
You like this?
I don't know. It sounds to me like, you know...
Okay.
Dance, dance to the center of my heart. That's what it sounds like to me. I like it.
Yeah, it sounds like all of the bands that played at Warped Tour in 2003.
Or is it swing, 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 sing, sing to the... What's the...
All American Rejects and then the Ataris and
I like it.
It's very... Yeah, early 2000s, late 90s. It's okay. It's all right.
I like it. I'm going to get some of their merch.
I still think it's a really cool idea.
It's great. It's heartening.
And then, the title of the song is Namesake. I can't really make out the lyrics because the guitar is so loud.
The levels are mixed a little bit wonky, but you know what? I don't know how to mix levels. Yeah. I couldn't do it.
The music video is like Paul from Baltimore doing flow charts and finding all these other parts.
I'm going to watch. This is the first thing I'm going to do when we get off of the podcast is A, go to the bathroom, and then B, watch the Paul Sullivan Experience or whatever they're called.
Okay, here's another crazy headline as of late. A woman swims 280 feet under the ice for the Guinness World Record. Guess which country this happened in? What country has citizens crazy enough to swim under 280 feet worth of ice?
Australia?
Nope. Russia.
Russia?
Yes.
Russia.
And that's, I'm just going to leave it at that. Why would anyone want to do it? She completed the feat in 1.5 minutes.
You know what? Good on her. Cold. Have you ever done the polar bear plunge?
No. Why would anybody do a polar bear plunge?
I did it 3 times.
Wait, where did you do the polar bear plunge?
Minnesota.
Did it make you feel renewed and refreshed?
No, it made me lock up. All my muscles locked up. And they had to pull me out the first time. I did it for Special Olympics. It's actually really fun. It was on my bucket list. I highly recommend everyone do it at least once.
All right.
You realize how cold is cold, and you realize how amazing it is that anyone was able to survive the Titanic crash at all because it was cold.
All right. Okay. So maybe I'm going to have to take your word for it. I know people do the cold bath thing, you know, to like shock their system or whatever. All right.
No, thank you.
And cheers. French wine vines are headed home after a year in space. Turns out they don't only plant poop potatoes in space. They have wine vines in space.
Why?
Because there is agricultural science experiments checking out to see if wine could make it with the journey, stress of the journey to space and then living in space. Turns out wine vines are doing well.
Fine.
Fine.
Would you say they're doing fine?
Fine wine.
Doing fine.
From space. Listen, as long as wine exists at Mars, the possibility of me moving, still on the table.
You'll never see your family again, but wine is there.
What else should be sent to space? Snickers bars?
I have a group of people. I mean, not a group. I have a list of people I'd like to send to space.
No. Food items to exist on Mars in order for you to move. Basil.
Coffee. And then coffee creamer.
Can they grow coffee creamer? How does coffee creamer grow? Is it on a vine or is it on a tree?
It's on a tree. Comes out in these canisters. And if you brush off the mud and pull off the leaves, it says coffee mate.
None of the bottles of wine that they made in space from these wine vines, they won't be opened until the end of February. And that's when the company will pop open a bottle or two and taste some out of this world wine, French wine vines. So it was Bordeaux and months of chemical testing will follow. Researchers are eager to see how altered the sedimentation and the bubbles are.
That's really interesting. I'm just picturing how they harvested and like made the wine. Like I'm picturing them in space, zero gravity, trying to crush the grapes with their feet. And the grapes are just going everywhere. And it looks like a massacre because it's just like pulpy red all over the place. And they all look like they're covered in blood and guts. But really, they just tried to harvest wine.
Just harvesting. Do you remember that video, that viral video years ago of the lady crushing the grapes with her feet? And then she's like, okay, I'm going to go. So it was like a reporter.
Yeah.
I don't even know where she was. She was like, I'm going to crush them so fast. And she's stomping these grapes and she falls off the platform and you just hear, God, I must have seen that video a million times in college. It made me so happy.
I thought it was really funny. And they did it on Family Guy too. So we're all having fun.
That's all I have for today. Weird headlines.
Weird headlines.
That's a wrap. You know, I think it's really rude that Dennis says that you can't harmonize.
Kathleen, we were talking off the air. It's one of the reasons that I want to jump back into taking voice lessons, but also I can totally harmonize. And he says I can't harmonize. And it's one of the most hurtful things he's said to me in our relationship. And by the way, hurtful. He doesn't back down on it, but I am so good at harmonizing.
You know what? It's just... He must think that he was in a professional band or something for a living once upon a time. Like, how rude.
Right? I know, right? Like, he traveled the world in a band or something as the lead singer. Like, whatever, jerk.
Whatever. You know, I was singing this morning because, A, singing makes me happy. Yeah. B, I need to practice before my lesson tomorrow.
Okay.
And my husband had the audacity to come in and he's like, okay, can you chill? And you know what? I have found how I get back at him for cursing at the TV when he's playing video games. I now sing.
And you know what? The best way to increase your confidence about a new skill is to use it as a punishment towards someone yep. else.
Yes, especially a loved one.
Mm-hmm. So what song are you working on right now?
I am working, it's a movie that was turned into a musical. It's a couple years old. It's have you heard of The Last 5 Years?
Yes, I have heard of it.
Yeah, Anna Kendrick stars in the movie and I'm working on a song from there. And then also Phantom of the Opera because, you know, I love a good classical musical.
Wait, what song from Phantom are you doing?
I'm working on Music of the Night.
Oh.
Because I just, maybe I want to be an opera singer when I grow up. I'm not sure.
You know, opera, like singing classical is really nice because you're up in your head voice a lot.
Yes.
You're not trying to like bellow out high notes in your chest voice. You're just like up in your high voice.
I used to use operatic dirty lyrics to rap songs. It's my party trick in college.
Explain.
Coming in your mouth. Your motherfucking mouth. If I could just eat you out. Okay, I have to stop.
Oh my God. You're filthy. Oh my God. You said you came armed with a quiz?
Yes, I have a quiz. But first I have to ask you about your hair. Have you been using dry shampoo more in quarantine than before, you think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
The dry shampoo is drying out my hair like insane craziness. And so I've been doing some research online about how to put moisture back in your hair. And I have good news for the both of us.
What's that?
Caffeine is the secret to really, really good hair.
There's no way this is true. Explain. Yeah.
Okay. So this is from Cosmo. And they say, you know it as the sole reason you've been able to get out of bed for the past year. Yes, that and sex scenes from Bridgerton.
Yeah, that and antidepressants. Continue.
Caffeine has another job now. And it's taking over the hair care industry. You may be seeing it all over IG... Oh, I guess it's Instagram, IG, blah, blah, blah. The main takeaway is that caffeine stimulates blood flow to your scalp. End of story.
Great.
Drink caffeine for better hair. Do you wash your hair every time you shower?
No.
Okay, good.
No. And in fact, like the days that I do have to wash my hair, I'm just exhausted. I remember I used to wash my hair every single day. Every single day. And yeah. I just wonder where that Bethany got all the energy. Because now I think about it and I'm like, I can't do that again.
No. I'm starting to oil my hair now. Do you put oil in your hair?
I put like a, I got a Moroccan oil sample.
Oh, I love Moroccan oil, but it's very expensive.
Yeah, I got a tiny, it looks like an essential oil vial of Moroccan oil. I put that in like the ends of it. I don't know. I'm just trying to get by, man. I'm just trying to get out of bed.
I've been oiling my whole head and I went for a walk with a friend the other day and she's like, did you just get out of the shower? I was like, nah, I overdid it on the oil.
I was watching one of the things getting me through. Speaking of things that are making me happy from segment one. Yeah. I have been watching my old standby, Yanis Marshall, doing his choreography to Britney Spears' Baby One More Time. I need to learn that choreography. I'm going to do it this year. But he does his choreography with his two guys, and then they have the same choreography done by like five of his students. And all of them look like they just took a shower because I think they've been sweating all day in his class. And so they're flipping their wet hair all over the place. And it's just, it's sex. It's just sex. Mm-hmm. And I'll link the video in the show notes. One of them is wearing a t-shirt that she cut up so that it's a crop top. And then the rest of the t-shirt that she cut wraps around her waist. And like ties. And I'm like, okay, that's sick. Anyway, wet hair. It looks, it but, just make yeah. it look, make it look like sex fashion.
Have you seen the influencers who have been rolling up their sweaters to make them crop tops?
No.
Speaking of crop tops, it's like this thing that people do. They roll their sweater and they tuck it under their bra. So this bulky sweater is a crop top. And I don't understand.
Does it look good?
I'm not here for it. It's like, oh, look at my belly. But also, like, aren't you cold?
It's interesting. I crop sweaters are very much a thing right now. My friend Christina Hutchinson, who's a very talented comic, she's also a podcaster, she came out with a line of merch and she has a cropped sweater that says she's into mental health. And so it says, congrats on not killing yourself, I think is what it says.
Oh, my God.
Which is like dark, but also congrats, you made it.
Congrats, you made it. Yeah.
But it's cropped. And I'm like, should I get it? Do I need to show my stomach?
You know what? Every time I see they're so popular now, hot chocolate bombs, I ask myself the same question. Should I get it? Should I get one of those hot chocolate bombs? I have friends who have special inauguration hot chocolate bombs ready to go for tomorrow. Uh-huh.
Wow. I didn't. Man, everyone has those.
Hashtag trends. Have you had a hot chocolate bomb lately?
No.
Do you know what it is?
No.
Look it up. Look it up. Pinterest.
I will. Should we do this quiz?
Yes, let's do a game.
Okay.
From the good people over at Teen Vogue.
Yes, doing the Lord's work.
89 best truth or dare questions.
Look at how happy these two girls are playing truth or dare in their skinny jeans.
Oh, they're so happy. God, I love stock photos. I wish I could be in stock photos.
You can. I have a friend who did it.
My stock photo would be like, sad girl looking at her workout gear.
I have a friend who, when he first moved to LA, he got like paid to be in stock photos. And he was like, Asian businessman holding mug, Asian businessman at meeting, Asian businessman with new dental work, Asian businessman looking happy in a button down.
I think anybody can submit their stock photos to websites, and if they like them, they get paid. Like, you could do your own stock photos of you hanging around the apartment with the cats if you had a good quality camera.
Gonna.
You should.
Okay, Kathleen, I'm going to give you a truth or dare question.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want?
Give me a truth.
Okay. What is the weirdest trend you've ever participated in?
Wearing men's ties as a belt.
It was a good one.
And knee-high Argyle socks with low top cons. That was my Avril Lavigne phase.
Is that not a thing anymore? Because that's still a cute look. That's still a look.
Bethany, truth or dare?
Truth, please.
Okay. Let's see. What is your biggest pet peeve? I know what this is.
Oh, there's like a couple.
Should I give you a hint?
Yeah, give me a hint.
Funky.
Oh, that's one of them. When middle-aged parents describe something they don't understand but don't want to criticize as funky.
It's so funky.
So like, if
you look funky.
If you show your mom how you like dyed your hair pink on the bottom and then like you shaved part of it and she doesn't want to like tamp down your creativity, she's like, oh, well, that's funky. Or maybe she and her girlfriends are going to go and they decide to go a little crazy and they all got like t-shirts that are tie-dyed and say their names. They're like, we just decided to get a little funky.
Funky. Or like, I imagine a middle-aged woman who she's wearing like a big, maybe chunky wooden necklace and wooden beads and like the beads are different colors.
Yep.
Maybe she has like a caftan skirt on. And
hell
she's
yeah.
Like, your new pillows in your living room. She comes over. She's in your book club. She's like, these are funky.
Yeah. And they're like sequined and they, you know, you rub one side and it's red and the other side, it's Nicolas Cage's face. Well, those are funky.
Funky.
Okay. Kathleen, truth or dare?
Dare.
Okay. Dare. Mm-hmm. This is tough because, you know, podcast. Do a prank call on one of your family members. Do you have another phone line?
Wait, Bethany. Wait, can I tell you the best prank call that I did lately and was going to do it on you, but now I can't because I'm going to tell you.
Wait, how old are you? Who does prank calls?
Okay. So you know when you're using Google Translate and you can have Google Translate read what you typed into Google Translate back to you?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you do English to English, it'll just read English back to you. So the other day I called my brother and from our acquired taste phone number, so he didn't know it.
I'm glad you're using our business for nefarious purposes.
And I typed into Google Translate, like, this is the Hudson County Jail. Do you accept a collect call from? And then I did space, space, space. So it would pause for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Kathleen Heaney, please say yes if you accept. And he was really flustered. And then he said yes. And then I tried to pretend that I was in prison / jail. And it didn't work because I just started laughing. But it was the best prank ever.
Can you imagine if he had said no and hung up? Hurtful.
I did my husband and he hung up because I was sitting next to him.
Yeah.
But that's besides the point.
Yeah. 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 Okay. Well, you get by without having to do it then because you've already done
it. Okay. Thanks. Do you want a truth or a dare?
Let's do a truth.
Okay. Tell us about the worst date that you've ever been on.
We were driving to a movie and he told me that he had been put in military school for
that's right
underage sexual assault because his girlfriend was 15 and like they had sex and he said she consented but like it was still illegal and he's like but don't worry and I was worried that was bad.
Can I give you another one?
Yeah.
Have you ever been skinny dipping?
Hell yeah.
Who, what, when, where, why? Tell me.
Who? Me and everyone else in summer stock. When I did summer stock.
Wait, what's summer stock?
It's like when you do theater over the summer. So like you go and live on a theater compound and you and the other actors all just do theater all summer and you get paid like $100 a week.
That sounds fun.
It was great. I loved it. We skinny dipped then and it was lovely. It was very fun. Other people probably like got busy. I did not because I just was asexual and no one was interested. Not like officially asexual, just like people saw me as asexual. I didn't see me as asexual, but that was fine. Aww. Okay, let's do one more. Kathleen, what excuse have you used before to get out of plans with a friend?
I have a UTI.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I have a UTI. It's burning when I pee. I'm sorry I can't come to the bar for your birthday.
That's a really, really, really good one. Yeah. There's no way of checking it.
Or I ate bad mahi-mahi.
That's also a good one. But the UTI is like very private.
What do you use?
Actual excuses. My sister's having a meltdown and I need to help her out.
My cat's having a meltdown.
Yeah. My cat's having an emotionally tough time.
Okay. To wrap this up, I have one more to ask you.
Okay.
What animal do you think you most look like?
I think figure
it out for me too now.
I think I look like, I think I look like a greyhound. If the greyhound was like one of those really light, like, is there a white, like a blonde white greyhound?
I don't know.
Like if a blonde, you know how you can see like golden retrievers that are white? Like their fur is almost white because they're, very pale.
Yeah. Okay.
I look like a very pale greyhound.
Yeah. I think. Let's see. Animals with sculpted faces. That's who I look like. I look like
blonde greyhound. Hold on. Yeah, I look like a blonde greyhound.
I wonder if the queen would own you. Would you be a hunting greyhound?
Hell no, I'd be a laying on the couch greyhound. Here's one. This greyhound has a very long nose and long blonde hair. It's me. It's me. What would you look like?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out right now.
Dogs with high cheekbones.
Why do I have to be a dog? Why can't I just animals?
Oh, you said what animal? You didn't say dog. Animals.
I think I look like a praying mantis.
You do not.
No, I see the resemblance. I have a little bit of a praying mantis type. If I had some antlers, at least I'm endangered and protected. So that I'm cool with that.
I think you look like an impala.
What's an impala?
The deer-like animal, not the car.
This is a really fun game to play with the whole family. You just tell them.
I do like playing. What dog are you?
Impala animal. Yeah, look at those high cheekbones on the impala. I totally look like
one. Yeah, you look like an impala. Same color hair.
If only I could run as fast as an impala.
Kathleen, what did you learn this week, my love?
I learned even if you're just running into the grocery store for two items and you're like, oh, I don't need a cart. I don't need a basket. I'm just going to, carry these items around in my hands. You're wrong. You're going to get more items than you can carry. Yeah. And then you're going to be miserable walking around the grocery store, like tucking things into pockets, putting things in your bra, just so you can make it to the checkout counter. Get yourself a GED basket or cart or something because you're always going to need it.
You're
always.
Absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
100%. We've all been there. Hating our life and you're like, oh, let me just grab this one thing. Oh, wait, this other thing. Oh, wait, I need laundry detergent. Oh my God, laundry detergent's so heavy.
So heavy.
Yeah. I know. Bethany, what did you learn this week?
I learned about these strip lights. Kathleen, I was telling you about them off the air. These are so great. They're these LED strip lights. They have a magnetic backing and they plug in to just recharge the USB, whatever, the battery. And you can put them anywhere that you need a little extra light and they're motion sensored. And so I put them underneath my cupboards in my kitchen because my kitchen gets really shadowy at night. Yeah. So if I'm putzing around, they like blip blink light up for me. And then after 20 seconds of no movement, blip, blip, they go back down. Cool. And they're great to have on at night too. So if you get up to go to the bathroom, they'll like light up as you go to the bathroom and then back down. They're awesome.
I've been looking for something exactly like this. You got to send me the link.
Yeah, I'll send you the link. I'll put the link in the show notes too. They're just these LED strip lights, and I think two come in a container, and I think I bought three containers. They're great.
Zhuzh them to look a little bit more lit up on Zoom too in your meetings.
Yes, totally. And you can switch them to turn on like all the time too, so you don't, they're not just motion activated, and they're great. And you can like pull them off the wall and use them as a flashlight because they're just magnetically attached. So I love them. That's what I learned this week. Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
At WebGirlKathleen on everything. How about you, Bethany?
I'm Radio Bethany on Twitter, Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram, and you can also find our show on social media.
On Twitter, at Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram, at Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group. There are a lot of wonderful people in there.
You can also send us an email like Garrett did, an acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
We have a phone number where you can leave us a voicemail or you can text us. We play the voicemails at the end of every week. Our phone number is 917-994-0353.
You can also send us snail mail, an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
So we mentioned in the beginning of this podcast that we have new merch coming out. We're going to be posting it on all of our social channels and our website. Plus, we'll link it in the show notes. So make sure you check out our designs there.
Our show is edited by Charlotte Gartenberg. You can follow her on Twitter at Shargar and on Instagram lit_fuck.
And if you ever see a video of this podcast on social media, it is edited by the fabulous Dennis Callow. You can follow him on social media at Dennis Callow, C-A-H-L-O.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
Yeah, baby. wherever you listen to this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. We appreciate everybody who has recently gone on and given us 5 stars and some kind words. We appreciate you very much.
And Taste Buds, this is what you had to say this week.
Woo! Hey, ladies. This is Shanda from Cleveland. Guess what? Finally, after like a whole year of being behind, I am finally caught up on the pod. So I'm talking about two things from the latest episode. One, yes, your skin totally does absorb most of the things that you put on it. I know this for a fact because as my journey in a breastfeeding pregnant lady over since 2014, you have to change your whole skincare routine to make sure the ingredients that you're putting on your face are safe for your little fetus and your nursing baby. So, yeah, that's been a journey. And two, I also knew about the bleach and ammonia thing because restaurant work. They make you take this whole certified training thing for when you're anywhere in the restaurant where you clean because they want to make sure that you're not going to kill everybody with these fumes if you mix bleach and ammonia. That's all. Sorry if you hear my kids in the background. They all say hi, and they love to sing your theme song all the time. All right, ladies, talk to you later. Bye.
Hi, this is Maddie from Cleveland, and I had to pause the podcast and call. You just did the queer pickup lines, and after the Subaru one, Bethany made a comment about, like, are these real stereotypes, blah, blah, blah. Well, actually, for the Subaru, yes, it is, because in the 90s, Subaru did a big marketing research campaign, and they found that lesbians were, like, buying their cars the most. So they actually started marketing directly towards lesbians. If you listen to Planet Money, they have a great episode on the whole thing, but they were one of the first companies to target queer people, and I just thought that was pretty cool. So that one is not a stereotype. It's actually true.
Hi, Bethany. Hi, Kathleen. It's Mika, your Eastern Pennsylvania taste bud. I just was wanting to call because I love my bidet. My mom actually gifted my husband and I 4 bidets for our bathrooms, and my sons love it so much that they low-key judge people's houses if they don't have a bidet. Like, that's how serious we are in this household. But yeah, so Kathleen, you need to hook yours up. Your life will be changed because of this bidet. And I don't think I could ever part with mine.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Taste Bud Zoe in New Jersey. I've been a listener since like the very first episode. I just wanted to share my exciting news, which is I'm finally in my own apartment. Last year, well, in 2019, I had bought a house with my ex, and in 2020, he cheated on me. Dumb. I ended up living with my aunt for like 6 months waiting to get this apartment. And it's perfect. It's the perfect size for me and my dog, Jill. And I just took my first shower in the shower. And it, you know what? It's, that shower is what it is. But I'm very excited because this is very new and I'm all by myself for the first time, which is weird, but it's very nice to have you guys to play in the background so it sounds like I have friends, especially during these terrible times. Thank you guys for the podcast, and I hope you guys all have a great 2021. Things are already starting to look up, at least, you know, personally. Love ya.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Taste Bud Megan. I'm the one that just posted about how they got dumped after 3 months via text message on their 35th birthday in the group. And I just want to say how much I love all the taste buds and how supportive you're being. I'm definitely more upset about how this happened than that it happened. And I really love and I'm so thankful for all your support and you guys make me smile and all the birthday wishes. But now my question is, what do I do with the Christmas present that I ordered? I ordered a really nice Mac Weldon Weekender bag. I'm thinking maybe I'll keep it for myself because it has a laptop compartment and a separate shoe compartment. And I just broke one of my Weekender bags. So let me know what you guys think. I hope everyone's having a great Thursday. I'm going to go back to my wine and the Bachelorette. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, Kathleen and Bethany. Katie here in Northern California. I was just listening to the most recent episode and had to take a pause while Kathleen was talking about the different foods that can kill you and then kind of skewed off a little bit about the sipping chocolate that you gals were sent at one point some years ago. I just got to say, it's insane how expensive sipping chocolate can be. And I'm very sad that they had sent you guys powder and not like some legitimately delicious actual chocolate, because true, true sipping chocolate is the cacao, not just the powder. And it just kind of made me squirm just a little bit when I heard that, because I worked for a chocolate company and we did some all organic, fair trade, ethically sourced bean bar chocolate, and it was absolutely fantastic.
Hey, Bethany. Hey, Kathleen. It's Christian. Facebook Christian, of course. Calling again because I just had to stop as soon as I was listening to the Agatha Christie podcast. And you guys mentioned taking 13 shots in an hour could kill you. And now I just realized, back when I was about 25, kind of learning how to drink, me and my best friend were supposed to go to this white party. We're exactly ready for it mentally, so I decided, hey, let's play a game. Let's take shots every minute for 20 minutes. Well, mind you, we got up to, I think it had to have been at least 13 or 14 shots. Yeah, let's just say that night I blacked out for the first time in my life. But hearing the podcast now, I'm surprised I'm not dead.
Hey, ladies, it's Taste Bud Desi from Iowa. I was just calling because I'm listening. I think I'm 2 episodes behind right now. But you just mentioned Frank's body scrub, and I had to pause it to let you girls know an awesome hack or, you know, life cheat. But if you're notorious like me and like play with like spray paint or like harsh paints that are really hard to get off your skin, that Frank's coffee scrub takes it off instantly. It is so amazing, and it doesn't like rip up your skin like Chinese paint thinners. So yeah, if you ever have like something really hard on your skin, like spray paint, use that stuff, and it smells amazing. So bonus. I just thought I'd let you girls know since you mentioned it. All right, bye.